Well, was there a baseball game on last night? To some of my friends that I know that are watching that are in the Detroit area that are American League fans, love y'all. Second of all, you know, there because Valley is such a gifted group of people, we have so many things that take place, so many things that happen, you know, and you know them all. Pastor Dan gave you the announcement. But I just want to tell you, I've been praying for a long time regarding November 8th, which is our marriage makeover and called Grace Edition. This coming Saturday is going to be amazing. And what we didn't push a lot, but I'm going to push now, if you are single and desiring to be married, if you are single and desiring for healing because you were married and then you are divorced now, separated, and there's a lot of pain in your heart still, this is a time to gather because the tendency of you is to run from what God created relationship. And so I encourage you, if you're single, that you would sign up also and come and allow and avail us to give you a grace addition that there's going to be healing that will manifest. If you are struggling and watching online, you're close by, sign up and come and introduce yourself to us. Be a part of what I believe is a beginning stage of something that's going to happen in 2026 that the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about for the last 2 years. And so there's something very specific that you'll see in the beginning of the year that I'll be bringing to you, not only in teaching, but also in focus. I haven't even really push it. I've said to a lot of people, God is setting something up for next year. And regarding relationships, marriage. And so please, everybody, be a part of this. Pack the place out. Don't run from it. And I'm going to say it like you've done before. Because God is leading you, and sometimes pain and hurt pushes us away from hearing the voice of God and obeying that. And I'm just asking you to be able to honor the Lord and really just be a part of that. And let it be an initial stage, if you've never done this before, initial stage, initial step to reach out and allow marriage and relationships to be a part. Because if we really understand the Grace Edition, we really understand the heart of God, what you're going to experience in every relationship you have, you will see grace overwhelm it, and you will see, even in business and your jobs, promotion to take place because there's a healing that takes place regarding relationships. Last thing I'll say, and then we'll dive into concluding this series, is there's a lot of things that God has planned for our lives, but it's because in relationships we've been hurt and we backed away from being the real self. We've backed away from our calling. We've backed away from the things that we know that God has spoken to our hearts before because of hurt, and we don't want to feel that hurt again. I understand that. I get that. I really get that. When I was 19, devastation happened regarding relationship in my life. And I tell you what, it took me about, even after marrying Terry, took me about 10 years to work through it. And part of the working through is because I just didn't know. I was called of God, seeing great things as a youth pastor. I was running camps of 700 kids five times a year. I was doing all kinds of things, traveling around, teaching other youth pastors how to minister to youth, how to do all that. And in all that, there was this standoffness in my life regarding relationships. I would not open myself up like I do today. Man, I get sometimes in relation today, I get beat up. But you know, it doesn't matter because I understand the heart of God regarding relationships. So I open it up even if that isn't received. And I'm a hugger of people. I'm a lover of people. I'm for you. I'm a cheerleader. But bottom line, for that 10 years, I just, you know, no. I was that type A personality, if that's an excuse. And I said, no way. But I promise you, everyone in this house, everyone listening, if you come, you're going to hear truth that's going to set you free. And every area of your life in relationships will change. Matter of fact, let's pray. Father, we pray now for November 8th that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would move in such a unique way. As I felt years ago, when people would get up and talk about different things, and they would talk about their love for their spouse or their love for their family, I can remember in the back of my mind, in my emotions, I would say, yeah, right. You're a fake and you're a fool. And Father, in Jesus' name, allow the Holy Spirit to bring a corrective understanding and revelation to each one of our hearts, that we no longer would say no to what you're asking us to do. Blessings upon our houses, blessings upon this word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, last night I was sitting there watching the game with Terry, and certain innings of the game, I'd say, oh man, I could see all the houses represented at Valley Community Church, screaming at the TV. Okay, repent, or admit, yeah, screaming at the TV, right? And then how many of you jumped up and down when they won? Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, and then about an hour and a half later, I was woken up because I went to bed early because of today, and I was woken up by a bunch of booms going on. It wasn't Disneyland. So that's great. What a joy it is to live in this beautiful country. Well, we are going to conclude our series on the God that we never knew. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the title, subtitle today is going to be, Does He Speak with Tongues? Now, let's remember a couple weeks, there is a gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues, one of nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit that we talked about. And then you have the tongue that is interpreted, tongues and interpretation. But there also is, I call, a grace of tongues, which is a prayer language. It's a depth of a prayer language that you pray to the Lord. And I want to say this to you, even though this is a blessing of the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit. This is not from God, but is to God when you pray. That's called the prayer language. We're going to touch on that a little bit, but stick with me now. We'll see very clearly in Scripture that you can pray in tongues, and it's for everybody. Again, remember, this is different than the gift of tongues, because remember, all the gifts are the Holy Spirit's, and He gives it to you as He wills in specific times of your life, of the nine different gifts of the Spirit. Now, some, not understanding that, would say, well, prayer language speaking, I don't have that, and that's God didn't give me that. And I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if we understand not only the relationship with the Holy Spirit, but the prayer language that we have in tongues is so vital for our lives that we're going to see what Scripture says about it. But every believer can pray in a prayer language to God. So this is important for you in your everyday walk with the Lord. Matter of fact, it's huge. So I'm going to give you just 3 points today. That's normal that I normally do that. But in these three, I believe covers an abundance of a life in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. So the first point today, I want to tell you it's scriptural. Speaking in tongues is scriptural. And so the Holy Spirit brings this to us. We have the Holy Spirit if we're born again, so you and I have the ability to have a prayer language and to move in one or two or three or all nine of the gifts of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit wills. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." Notice, he speaks to God. "For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Now, it says he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God and speaks in the Spirit. Please notice here, I'm going a little bit slow in the introduction because I want you to grab a hold of the inflection of my voice so you see the importance and how it goes step by step. Please notice to who and that it's in the Spirit. It's not something you make up. It's out of your Spirit. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding or mind is unfruitful." Basically, when I speak in a prayer language, I don't understand what I'm saying. But I'm not praying to myself, I'm praying to God. Verse 15, look very carefully what Paul says. "So what is the conclusion then? I'll just pray in the Spirit. But I don't understand, but I feel weird, but this is..." What is the conclusion then? "I will choose or will to pray in the Spirit." Now, when I begin to do this through the years, and I gave you my testimony of when I began to understand these things and the weirdness sometimes I saw it being abused because people did not understand. It wasn't that they were stupid. They just did not understand. It wasn't they were weird, even though they acted weird, my opinion. Okay, and that's why I backed away from this too. So in my younger years of ministry and or Christianity, believing God, there was a lot of confusion in my own heart. There was a lot of backing away, you know, in my own heart. And I believe some of that came because of the gifting that I was called to do, be a teacher of the Word of God. And even though I really didn't understand all of that and have a lot of study in the Word, my gifting brought me up and and saw things that I knew wasn't really correct. And at the beginning stage, my spirit was telling me things, but I didn't know how to explain it. So with all that said, let me explain it to you so that you know if you're in that same boat with me or if you're listening online, because when I begin to say, I will pray in the Spirit, whatever this religion I was brought up in, I will pray in the Spirit and I will desire to do so, even though I feel weird about it now, there's a pushback here. Every time I bring that, I sense it in the Spirit. And when I said that today, I sensed a pushback in the spirit realm. Now, I am fine with anybody wanting to argue that. But I'm telling you, I'm fine with that. Don't argue with me. Argue with the Word of God. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. Because what we're doing is we're telling you it's scriptural. Paul didn't write this. He penned this, and he wasn't the author. Scripture, remember, is God-breathed. The author is the Holy Spirit. And when you get to know the God that you didn't know, the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to sense a reality and a truth of every aspect of being, remember, Pentecostal, charismatic. But Satan wants you confused. So what the enemy does is what he did to me years ago is he took me to Scripture, try to disprove what I was sensing was truth. And part of that was there's a Scripture that people misread, misunderstand, and they think that all this stuff we're talking about was way back in the book of Acts and not for today. That it's passed away. That it's passed. It wasn't for today. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, it says, and when the perfect one comes, tongues will cease. That's talking about the second coming. Second coming hasn't happened yet. But that same scripture that people use, see, the perfect one, Jesus, he's been here. He died on the cross, all that, yes. But this is talking about the second coming, all right? It also says, though, that knowledge will cease or vanish away. So if you're listening to me and you're using this scripture and you say, well, tongues has ceased, then you have no knowledge because you believe knowledge has ceased. So follow me, and I'm just going to say something. I am not coming down on anybody. Then you're dumb. Oops, you shouldn't say that. Because they referred it to the Word of God to argue, let me tell you, God is perfect, Jesus is perfect, the Word is perfect. So it says again, we know in part, but when the perfect comes, everybody, we only know in part. We don't know in full, but let me say it this way. The Trinity is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. I'm not putting down the Bible. Matter of fact, if you know me, the Bible is vital to me. It is everything to my life, the Bible. But the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did not cease to exist or operate in 398 AD when Scripture was canonized. And so what they're literally trying to do, and the enemy does, is tries to take Scripture to argue away a truth when you take the whole Bible and you understand what the whole Bible is saying and you recognize these things, then you begin to push away or kick out all this confusion, and you begin by faith receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But it starts with knowing who He is. The Holy Spirit still ministers, he still moves, and he still speaks. So tongues are for today. All he does for us is free also. You don't work for it, you don't earn it, you receive it by faith. And all of his gifts are available to all of his kids. So let's keep reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. Look at this. So what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. He calls praying in tongues with the Spirit. And I will also pray with the understanding. So watch this. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. In other words, I will sing in tongues and sing in a known language. I will sing in tongues and I will sing in a known language like we did this morning. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, that means pray in the Spirit, which would be tongues, how will he who occupies a place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Now, giving of thanks is another word for prayer, since he does not understand what you say. So in this, now he's explaining what I went through and what some of you have gone through, because you just don't get it because you didn't understand a tongue. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified or means strengthened. He's simply saying, if you're going to pray, sing in tongues, people will not be able to understand you. Now, there are times that I will ask for the congregation to pray in tongues collectively. Remember, we're not praying to each other, we're praying to God. Or we'll sing in tongues. But the point in this passage is this. You can pray in tongues. Paul called it praying in the Spirit. Verse 2 says, in the Spirit, a prayer language. So let's just stop there. Let's just go another argument, these things that go on. Some people who are against tongues say that passage, if I pray, they say Paul didn't pray in tongues ever. Okay, I want you to listen. They get so particular in their study, they're saying, well, Paul said, if I. In other words, I don't pray. All right? Meaning that many of you won't pray in tongues. It's not for you. And I'm telling you, that's a lie too, and that brings confusion in your reality of walking with God. But the answer to that is verse 18. Paul is answering the same question. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. He's from the south. What's amazing is that people that have a bias can read right over Scripture and not see things. Because this is the way I believe. I don't care what that says, but this is what I believe. This is what I've been taught, all right? Verse 39 says, 1 Corinthians 14, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. You know, there are religions that forbid people to speak with tongues. What did it say there? Do not forbid. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how come this is so important? Well, you're going to find out that there is a benefit, but we're going to give that to you in a moment. Let me say this. What happens when we battle these things and we try to argue the word from the word, we have spiritual blindness and deception happens. And I'm telling you, tongues is scriptural for all. Here's my second point. It's a benefit to your life and to mine. It's a benefit to pray in a prayer language. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Remember, we talked about is when we walk in the gifts of the Spirit, that what happens is we edify the church and we edify ourselves. But the prayer language that we have, that is something we do daily, often daily, is a benefit to ourselves. It edifies us. Now, look at the word "but." The word "but" is a conjunction in the Bible over 2,700 times. Most of the time in Scripture, it's translated with the word "and." Many times, but most of the time, "and." So he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and he who prophesies edifies the church. So both are important. To pray in a known language and to pray in the Spirit in an unknown language. You edify yourself in the unknown language by praying to God, and you edify the church by bringing a proclamation of a prophecy like was just handed out to you this week. So we have to recognize that this, watch this, this is so vital for your life. Let me just say this, I'll touch on it again. Why are so many people depressed? Why are so many people walking around angry and bitter? Because many people who are depressed, angry, and bitter don't know God, the Holy Spirit, and they don't function in a prayer language, a language that is given by God so you could pray to God, which edifies you, which lifts you up, which creates such an atmosphere in your heart. Even though you're going through a crisis, you rise up in the joy of the Lord because you are praying to the Lord. And when you are in the Holy of Holies, what happens is all worry is destroyed and you can walk in victory. That's where it's at. So, some versions of the Bible translate it this way. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. On the other hand, he who prophesies edifies the church. So in verse 4, the Greek is trying to show us there is a difference between the two, tongues and prophecy. Again, edifies himself. Edify means to build up. What's wrong with edifying yourself up? See, there are a lot of believers who don't function in this, who don't receive it from the Lord and don't use it as a prayer language, and they're walking around having difficulty in life and struggling day after day after day because they are not building themselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, praying in a prayer language. This is talking about a private language and a public language. The private, build yourself up, praying with the Spirit. The public is speak words that others can understand. That's the summation of chapter 14. So how about this? He who reads the Bible in private builds himself up. He who reads his Bible in public builds the whole church up that hear your voice. It's not saying don't build yourself up in private. It's letting you know the difference between private and public. And they use a scripture trying to say, well, you know, you shouldn't do that because it's prideful to be able to do that like you're this spiritual being. No. He is just explaining to the church, like I struggled with This is why you have it. If you are a person that's constantly up and down, up and down, up and down. Now, I understand that there's emotional things that go on and we need counseling and stuff like that. But there are many people that need to move into this area because what it will begin to do is to build you up and you will rise up in a strength that you have never experienced before in your life when you have a prayer language and you are doing this every single day of your life. I mean, if you know, you work out once and you expect beach body. We need to recognize the importance of the relationship of the Holy Spirit and how great it is to be able to walk in such a unique relationship with Him and praying to God in that language that comes out of your spirit. So verse 2 and 14, Paul is speaking about praying in tongues with the Spirit. Watch now in Ephesians 6 that talks about the armor of God. Please read later the total chapter, Ephesians 6. Verse 17 and 18 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Can everyone say amen to that? Amen. All right, but verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." What do you pray in the Spirit? A heavenly language. A language that builds you up. Matter of fact, Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks, prays in tongues, builds himself up." Paul says to the Corinthian church and to us, you need to build yourself up. How do you do that? By praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. So here's something I want you to see. When I was a supervisor, I trained many pastors. I used to meet them in groups, small groups, and then I'd meet them in larger groups. And we'd have an open session, and usually I'd teach for 20 minutes, and we'd have a two-hour, three-hour open session of questions and answers. They would always ask, how do you take care of yourself? How do you build yourself up? How do you work the hours that you work and not get exhausted? Because struggle for many years that a lot of pastors didn't understand Sabbath. They didn't understand taking care of themselves. They didn't understand they needed time to themselves, sabbaticals, all kinds of things. So my answer, when they would ask that type of question, is it would take me about 3 hours to answer their question. So when we leave at 3 o'clock today, kidding, I told them, here's some of my answers, and I'd expound on them. Read the Bible, pray, journal, love your spouse, protect your home, work out, run or walk, have spiritual fathers, spiritual moms, have mentors, have book mentors. To have friends, you need to be friendly. There are a lot of pastors that are not friendly. They aren't. I mean, I watch them in their church, and they walk by 10 people in their church. Lighten up, man. You know, lighten up. Say hi. High five them. Do something. Hug them. You know, shake their hands. Play sports. Develop godly leaders around you that they were there. They will love you as you love them. I have staff shepherd elders. The most important that I would conclude with always was pray in tongues often and build yourself up. They get so concerned about journaling because their gift is teaching. As they're trying to journal and write and teach and get this great wisdom from God, I said, stop sometimes and be ignorant before God and just pray in tongues. Changes people. Change ministry. Change churches. Yeah, you do all those other things. But the most important thing you have in your life is a prayer language to be able to pray to God and it builds you up. Now, this is where a lot of people are at. They say, well, I would like to do that, but I don't have that gift. Remember, that's not talking about the gift, the tongues, the prayer language. Tongues and interpretation is talking about your prayer language that you have because you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. The problem is we or I am not talking about the manifestational gifts, but we're talking again about the grace of a prayer language. So let's look at the third point. And this is very important. So I know I gave you a lot of information here, but on this third point, please hear my passion. Here's my passion on everything I teach regarding this subject, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15 says, for if I pray, or it could say, and I'm going to say it, I have a choice. For if I pray, I have a choice in a tongue. My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm praying when I'm praying the prayer language. Holy Spirit may give you understanding at times and building you up, but in this you don't understand. So, what is the conclusion then? I will. It has to be your will to do it or not. Whether you feel weird or not, whether you saw it abused or not, like I did. Kind of like if someone asks you to go to lunch with them after church, you have a choice, don't you? You either will go to lunch or you won't. Some people would say, oh, yeah, absolutely, I'll go to lunch. Where are you taking me? And then some people will go, where are you going? I love those people. I want to say, well, what place don't you like? Never mind. That's where my brain goes. God gave you a will. Paul said, I will. Matter of fact, he said, I do it more than all of you because I have chosen to make this of utmost importance in my life. And let me just say this to you. I am like Paul. I've chosen to make this one of the most important aspects of my life, my spiritual walk, praying my prayer language, relating with God, talking to the Lord. Now, church family, you're not going to be in State of Brothers one day and go into a trance. Grab the intercom and start speaking in tongues. It's not going to happen that way. It might happen when you're driving home today if you don't already have the prayer language. It might happen when you do your prayer at night. It's not this woo. It's like when you leave after service, you walk past the offering box, and because you have the gift of giving, a check just slides out of your pocket and goes into the box. That's not how it works. It's a choice. for you to write out that check or go online and give, return your tithe and give offerings. All right? By the way, if you have the gift of giving and that thing slides out of your pocket and goes in the box, just make sure it's a big check, okay? See, we have to laugh a little at the confusion and the feeling that we've had. And to some of us, you have been taught opposite of what I'm teaching. And they've told you it's not for today, and those people are not of God. And you've walked in here and you've seen Dr. Mila, but then in your spirit, in your heart, you're saying, man, this sounds good. This is real. This has got to be real. But still, in the back of your mind, you're saying, you know, this stuff is weird. It's for them and not for me, but I enjoy it. Okay? Because when Mila comes up and prophesies, what's the scripture say? It edifies the whole church. Amen. But I'm trying to get you to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit so that what he has and given you, you're able to pray and edify yourself by praying in your prayer language. It's an act of your will. If you're going to write out a check, you grab a pen, you write it out. If you're going to go out to eat with someone, you say, yes, I will go. Let me make a phone call first, and I'm going to change my schedule so I can go with you. It's a choice of your will. If you have a gift of teaching, do you ever go into Stater Brothers again? And all of a sudden, that trance happens again. Holy Spirit comes all over you, and you got to grab the intercom at the cash register and start teaching. No, Holy Spirit doesn't do that. It's not weird. You always can control it because it is a choice and an act of your will. See, that's probably the thing that really knocked my socks off is when I was raised in a church, it was an awesome church. I just didn't understand it. And some of them in the church who did what they did, didn't understand it either. And right in the middle of a teaching of the Word of God, they would just jump up and, like, yeah, what's going on, you know? I wanted to go tackle them, and what's happening? And you know what they would say? Holy Spirit came upon me, and I just couldn't control it. All right, I'm going to say something really spiritual. Bull. That's a bunch of bull. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He works with you, and there's never a time that something happens that way. And I'll tell you, I mean, people would roll on the floor. They would run around the sanctuary. Okay, now let me just tell you this. There was one time after I was born again, went to Bible college, I went to a camp, and I taught this camp. And at the conclusion of that, the guy came up to conclude, and all of a sudden he says, you know what, I am so excited about what we just learned and what God did, and it's like the whole group, there was about 300 kids. They stood up, started jumping up and down. There wasn't music, there wasn't worship, and they started jumping up and down, jumping up and down, you know, and so, okay, you know, jumping up and down. And then all of a sudden, they went out and they just started walking fast all around the camp, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Now, no one led that, they just did it. And that was the Holy Spirit moving, but it was a collective thing, and it wasn't something that was, never mind, let's go on. So, question, why would the Holy Spirit give Paul instructions in the how and when to do it if it's uncontrollable. If it's uncontrollable, then why have directions? Does that make sense to you? All right, that's why I'm going where I'm going. You can pray in a prayer language and control it. Since it's scriptural, since it builds you up, why wouldn't you just choose to do it? You have the control to do that. Again, people say, well, Pastor, I tried, and it sounds like gibberish. Of course it does. Have you ever seen a baby start talking? Sounds like gibberish, doesn't it? You learn, you grow, your language changes, it matures. Paul says, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And I just say, isn't it about time we let our spirit pray and not our problem? Isn't it about time we start allowing our spirit pray and our prayer isn't always filled with the problems? By the time we're done praying, we feel worse. It's by faith. We open our mouth and we get in the presence of God. We get in our quiet time. It's private. Then just yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Now, the book of James says that no man can tame the tongue. But here's the truth. The Holy Spirit can. Anybody, don't raise your hands, especially during the World Series. Anybody have problems with your mouth during the World Series? Okay. All right. You want to learn how to control that? Don't watch the game. Well, maybe. Praying in a prayer language. It changes the way you talk. Changes the way you think. It builds you up. I promise you, some of the things that people struggle with as Christians in sin will change and be removed because they practice on a daily basis edifying themselves up in their prayer language. Anybody has a prayer language here? Go ahead, raise your hand. Prayer language, amen. Are you in agreement with this? Amen. I know everybody's quiet because let's not talk about tongues. Tongues is great. It's one of the greatest things that you can move into in your walk with God. So let me say it this way. Many struggle with this praying in tongues. I've talked with some. Watch this. There's a couple couples that I've talked to. And they struggle. One is praise in tongues, prayer language all the time. And the other one just struggles. Like that. But they tell me when they go to bed and they're sleeping, they pray in tongues. Why is that? Because their brain and their emotions and their experience are shut down because they're sleeping. So their spirit begins to pray. And their mouth follows. It's exciting, folks. I know it's like this with some people. But the reality, it's truth. It will set you free. So, it's a choice. Some of you, after you start, will say, I don't feel anything. I feel weird doing this. It's okay. It may take you a while to begin to do this. That's okay. The first thing that I'll say to you, when you begin to talk more about it and you begin to seek it out by praying to the Lord, the first thing that will happen is the enemy will say, see, look, you're not spiritual enough. It's not happening. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be spiritual at all. First born again, 2 seconds later, you could be praying in tongues. That's the lie of the enemy. All right, so I'm trying to, you know, in this 40 minutes, I'm trying to just turn the tide. So again, 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Wow. Let's all stand. Pastor, how do I start? Pray, Holy Spirit, show me you. Holy Spirit, I want to know you in a better way. You start that on Sunday. What do you do Monday? Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. I want to hear your voice in a greater way. What do you do on Tuesday? Holy Spirit, are you getting what I'm saying? 5 years later, 5 years, 1 month, 1 day later, 3 hours, 5 minutes, 2 seconds later. Holy Spirit, I just want to know you more. The more you know the Holy Spirit, the more you will know Christ, and the more you will know the Father. He is God who shows us all. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing of the Holy Spirit over this house. Move, Holy Spirit, move. Bring revelation to all of our hearts. Holy Spirit, touch everybody here today. Energize by faith in Jesus' name. I speak a strength that undergirds every person here. To every home represented, online and here, I speak a blessing of the Holy Spirit that just is a canopy over that home. Move, Holy Spirit, in our homes. Move, Holy Spirit, in our schools. Move, Holy Spirit, in every area of our life so that we may know all things that you pertain to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Remember, it's not weird. Have a great day. See you tonight at 6 o'clock.